Hello and welcome. In this talk, we focus on salvation in Bible prophecy. Salvation is not an afterthought in Scripture, but a central theme woven into the fabric of Bible prophecy. From the earliest pages of the Old Testament, God reveals a redemptive plan to rescue humanity from sin and to restore a relationship with Himself. Many think that God had to invoke Plan B after the fall of man, as in Genesis chapter 3. However, this is not so. The Almighty and all-knowing God of the Bible, who knows the end from the beginning, only ever had one plan, Plan A. God does not make mistakes. The Bible declares that God promised eternal life, which is the hope of salvation, before the world began. We read in Titus 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Bible prophecy progressively unveils God's plan, pointing forward to the coming deliverer and redeemer, whose work would bring forgiveness, reconciliation, and eternal life. The New Testament presents Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of these prophetic promises. The first prophetic hint of salvation appears immediately after humanity's fall into sin. Genesis 3:15 records that God declared that the seed of woman would bruise the serpent's head while suffering injury himself. This prophecy anticipates a future victory over Satan achieved through suffering. The New Testament identifies this victory is achieved through Jesus Christ, whose death and resurrection decisively defeated sin and death. We read in Hebrews 2, verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. And in 1 John 3 and verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. God's covenant with Abraham further clarifies the promise of salvation. We read in Genesis 12 and verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And in Genesis 22 and verse 18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. God promises that through Abraham's offspring, his seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. This blessing extends beyond ethnic Israel to the entire world. The Apostle Paul explicitly interprets this promise as fulfilled in Christ, stating that Jesus is the promised seed through whom salvation comes to both Jews and Gentiles. We read in Galatians 3 and verse 8, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. And in verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Christ. The sacrificial system established under the Mosaic law prophetically foreshadowed the means of salvation. Animal sacrifices, particularly on the Day of Atonement, as described in Leviticus chapter 16, taught that forgiveness requires the shedding of blood. These sacrifices were temporary and symbolic, pointing to a greater and final sacrifice. The New Testament explains that Jesus fulfilled this system as the perfect and once-for-all offering for sin. We read in Hebrews chapter 9 verses 11 to 14, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And in Hebrews 10, verses 1 to 10, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. The Passover event stands as a powerful prophetic picture of salvation. In Exodus chapter 12, the blood of a spotless lamb protected Israel from judgment and secured their deliverance from bondage. The New Testament identifies Jesus as the ultimate Passover lamb, whose blood brings deliverance from sin and death. John the Baptist declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world," in John 1 and verse 29. And in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The prophets of Israel spoke with increasing clarity about a coming Saviour. Isaiah chapter 53 provides one of the most detailed messianic prophecies, describing a suffering servant who would bear the sins of many and bring healing through his wounds. Though written centuries before the New Testament era, this passage closely aligns with the crucifixion of Jesus. The New Testament repeatedly affirms that Jesus fulfilled this prophecy through his sacrificial death. We read in Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 6, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. The prophet Micah foretold the birthplace of the Messiah, declaring that a ruler would come from Bethlehem, whose origins are from old, from everlasting. We read in Micah 5 and verse 2, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. This prophecy emphasizes both the humanity and divine pre-existence of the Saviour. The Gospel of Matthew records that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, explicitly identifying him as the fulfillment of Micah's prophecy and the promised ruler of Israel. We read in Matthew 2, verses 1 to 6, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. The Psalms also contain prophetic descriptions of salvation through the Messiah. Psalm 22 portrays the suffering of a righteous individual whose hands and feet are pierced and whose garments are divided by casting lots. These details correspond strikingly with the crucifixion of Jesus. The New Testament writers recognize Psalm 22 as a prophetic depiction of Christ's suffering, demonstrating that the Old Testament scriptures pointed forward to salvation through the Messiah. We read in Psalm 22, verses 16 to 18, For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet, I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me, they part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. And in John 19, verses 23 to 24, Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments, and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be. That the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Jeremiah prophesied concerning a new covenant, in which God would forgive sins and write his law on the hearts of his people. As we read in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbour, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This promise of inner transformation and complete forgiveness goes beyond the old covenant system. At the Last Supper, Jesus declared that his death would pay for this new covenant, fulfilling Jeremiah's prophecy and establishing salvation through grace rather than through the law. We read in Luke 22, verse 20, Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And in Hebrews 8, verse 6 through to 13, But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, A new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. The prophet Daniel foretold the exact timing and purpose of the Messiah's coming. In Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 26, the Messiah is described as being cut off to bring an end to sin and establish everlasting righteousness. This prophecy connects the Messiah's death directly to salvation. The New Testament presents Jesus' crucifixion as the moment when sin was dealt with decisively and righteousness was made available to all who believe. We read in Romans 3, verses 21 to 26, But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and upon all them that believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The New Testament writers consistently emphasized that Jesus did not come unexpectedly, but in fulfillment of prophecy. After his resurrection, Jesus himself explained to his disciples that the law, the prophets, and the Psalms spoke of his suffering and resurrection as necessary for salvation. In Luke chapter 24, we read the following. In verse 27, And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And in verses 44 to 47, And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This confirms that Bible prophecy forms a unified witness of God's redemptive plan centered in Christ Jesus. In conclusion, salvation in Bible prophecy unfolds as a coherent and purposeful narrative that finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ the Messiah. From Genesis to the prophets, Scripture anticipates a Savior who would suffer, die, and rise again to redeem humanity. The New Testament proclaims that this promised salvation has been accomplished through Jesus, offering forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all who place their faith in him. Bible prophecy therefore stands as a powerful testimony to the faithfulness of God and the certainty of salvation in Christ.